academic year consists of 60 ECTS credits. So that's roughly 30 credits per semester, because we have two semesters, autumn and spring. And one ECTS credit consists of 27 hours of student work, okay? So no contact teaching. I mean, contact teaching is included, but the 27 credits, 27 hours per credit means student work, and everything is included. Contact teaching, that may be lectures, that may be seminar groups, that may be some kind of practical demonstrations, but also reading the required materials, writing the essays, or learning diaries, or sitting an examination. So everything and anything, okay? And I've included the semester dates here. The final semester, fifth period in spring semester, does not usually have a lot of contact teaching courses, except for the summer school in human sciences that we always have at the end of May till mid-June. You will receive information about that later on, and there is a separate registration for that. The only sort of official academic holiday that we have is the Easter break, and this year it is from the 25th of March until the 1st of April. So the week preceding Easter is a holiday here, meaning that there is no contact teaching. And then we have a couple of days during the spring semester that are also public holidays. The 1st of May being a big student party day. So if you are still here on the 1st of May, you will see a lot of students and young people partying around the town. And then the Ascension Day, which is the 9th of May this year. Week nine, especially for those of you who will do this, the teaching practices here at Jyväskylä schools, week nine is a winter holiday in local schools, but it is not an official holiday in the university. So if you plan to participate in the Erasmus Student Network trips or something like that, please notice that the university professors are not obliged to offer you some kind of extra assignments to compensate for your absences if you are traveling. Some of them are pretty strict about this. Some others are more flexible. But bear in mind that if you participate in the trips, it's kind of up to you to cover your absences if it's possible to be absent. Right. So you need approximately 30 credits per semester. However, this is very much dependent on your home university. So, if your home university is okay with fewer credits, or you have to do some courses for your home university, that is okay, for us. But we do recommend you to take the 30 credits per semester. You can choose courses from your own department or own faculty. And in addition to that, we have quite a wonderful Center for Multilingual Academic Communication, which we quite often abbreviate to MOVI. And they offer you courses in Finnish language and English communication, academic writing, and other languages as well. What you should pay attention to is if the course has some kind of prerequisites. If you have to have completed, for example, studies in clinical psychology before you can attend some sort of therapy courses, such as acceptance and commitment therapy, or emotion-focused therapy, you should have a solid understanding of clinical psychology prior to attending. Then the level of the courses and the language of instruction, which I'll come to a little bit later. So you have to do a personal study plan in our SISU system. You have a session about SISU this afternoon, if I remember correctly, and you have to plan your studies there. There is a template for all of you based on the faculty or the department you've been appointed to. There is kind of like a personal study plan template, and then you can just click and choose. This is pretty easy to use nowadays, and your tutors will help you if you need help. Also, your faculty coordinators will explain more tomorrow when we meet you. The SISU system is used for course registration. You will also see your grades and your past courses there, and eventually your transcripts of records. And like Elisa Pratasid showed you, you can also see your personal information there, and you can actually print out an attendance certificate and your own transcript once you have credits there. One thing that I'd like to point out is that because you're here as an exchange student, you should bear in mind that your home university requirements are quite important. Another thing is that sometimes the home universities require courses that we just don't have on offer. If that is the case, contact my colleagues, international coordinators in the different faculties, and we can see if there is something we can do to help you. But if it is something that is definitely not on offer, then sorry. Right. In most of our study plan templates for exchange students, there is a lot of optionality, a lot of free choice options or opportunities in the study plan. So it's very much up to you and your interests, what you want to do, and of course, the home university requirements. I already said that the MOVI courses, the Center for Multilingual Academic Communication courses, are open for exchange students as well, but each faculty also offers a couple of courses for the so-called free choice options for exchange students. You should check, however, that the course you are interested in actually exists in English, okay? The SISU system and its predecessor, Korppi, they are nice pieces of software, but the thing is that we have all courses in English there as titles, but it doesn't necessarily mean that the language of instruction is English, okay? So check the language of instruction. Sometimes it is so that the contact teaching option is in Finnish, but it's possible for exchange students to complete the course by independent studying, for example. Then there are certain restrictions. For example, in our School of Business and Economics, some of the courses are available only for the students who are appointed as exchange students in that faculty. The same applies for the majority of courses in my faculty in education and psychology, because we just have so many students that we don't have the room for students from other faculties. Then, as already mentioned, there may be some prerequisites. If there are, they are usually stated in the description of the course in SISU. And then the level of studies. So we use codes for the course abbreviations, and the first three digits, usually letters, tell you the name of the subject in Finnish. I have included some examples here. Some are more difficult than others. PSY is pretty self-evident because it's psychology, psykologia in Finnish. But then there are others such as TIAE, which is tietotekniikka, information technology. Okay. Then the fourth digit tells you the level of the course. If the fourth digit is P, it stands for basic studies, so usually first year level. A stands for intermediate level, so second or third year in bachelor's degree. And S is for advanced level studies, master's level studies. There are other letters sometimes, such as O, for example, which is usually OY, which are usually general or orientation studies, but these are the most important abbreviations that you have to know. Okay. I already told you that SISU is used for course registration as well. All of the courses have a specific registration period. Usually, the registration takes place before the actual teaching of the course starts. Sometimes there is some space, some time for after the course has officially began to register or cancel your registration. But the registration period is stated in the course description in SISU. And if you decide to drop a course, that's fine, but please cancel your registration. Sometimes it's not possible after the registration period has ended, but once again, your faculty international coordinator will help you to remove your registration. Why is this important? Well, it's important because for many of our courses, even most of our courses, the number of places in that course is limited. So if you decide to drop the course, it's not to your taste or you realize that it's too easy, too difficult. It's important that you cancel your registration so that somebody else perhaps can take part in your stead. Once you enroll, do you all have your ICT credentials at the moment? Can you log on to the university systems? Yeah, okay, great. So basically, you can start registering. However, as we have the faculty information sessions tomorrow, Thursday, if you are unsure about the courses that you want to take, it might be a good idea to wait until tomorrow, until you have met with your international coordinator and they have explained the available courses in your host faculties, host departments. So, well, now we are in the spring semester, so most of you will stay here only for the spring. But the idea is to register for the courses that you plan to do during this semester. If there is somebody who will continue for next autumn, then you register for the autumn courses in, well, next August, basically. Most of the courses have some kind of registration deadline. And in the majority of the courses, the participation or your registration is confirmed after the registration period has ended. The majority of our teachers want to do it like this. Some others prefer a direct, immediate confirmation, which means that once you register, you immediately will know if you got accepted to the course or not. And this is kind of self-evident, the last one, but I get surprisingly many questions about why I can't register, why, a person can't register to a course. And when I go and check, it's just that the registration period is not yet active. Okay. So if you try to register for a course and it's for some reason not successful, check the registration period first. I don't think I will go into this in any detail because basically I told you about that already, and then you have the afternoon session about the practicalities and how to use SISU. So I'll just skip directly to the modes of study. This is something that very many of our incoming exchange students have perhaps not problems, but sometimes a few questions about, because we tend to have a lot of different modes of study. And once again, the traditions vary a bit from faculty to faculty, department to department. For example, in our faculty, we tend to have quite a lot of sort of small group teaching, not huge lectures anymore that often. We tend to have a lot of written assignments as opposed to examinations in the Faculty of Education and Psychology. But then again, for example, in mathematics and science, they quite often have demonstrations for calculations, and they have examinations as opposed to, essays. We don't often have oral examinations. It's not really a tradition here, except for some of the courses in MOVI. So, in the Center for Multilingual Academic Communication, the language courses may have an oral examination as part of the course completion. This is what a course outline looks like in SISU. This is an Academic English Communication 1 course given by MOVI. There is a tab called Completion Methods, and underneath that, you can see when the teaching is given. I have circled last autumn's here, but you can see it's also available now in the spring term. And when you click a little bit below that, there is this group and teaching times, and you will see the exact times and places when the contact teaching is taking place. Okay. Confirmation of registration, I already told you about. So that is in many courses, the participation will confirmed only after the registration period ends. And this is because sometimes the teachers and the departments give priority to certain groups of students. For example, a course may be primarily targeted at students who have already completed their, let's say, bachelor's degree. So there is a list of priority for the students, and once the registration period has ended, either it's done automatically by SISU software, or then the teachers go, one by one, the students, and see, okay, these are the people who really need this course at this point of time, and then the rest of the places is filled with other students. Check your timetable. SISU has a calendar function, and with the calendar you can check week by week if you have overlapping courses. Usually, and once again, there are differences between the faculties, between the units. But for example, in our faculty, if there is one overlap, it's usually not a problem. If there are two overlaps, you can usually somehow manage. But if there are more, I'd advise you to drop one of the courses and choose something else instead. The first contact teaching session is usually just about the most important one. The majority of our teachers use nowadays some kind of online learning platform such as Moodle, in which they include the instructions and also the materials and stuff, other stuff that are needed for the course. But still, the first session, the first contact meeting of a course is significant because that's your chance to ask the teacher for clarifications. They are supposed to tell you, supposed, okay, to tell you what is expected of you. So, what is the assessment criteria, for example, for the course? What kind of written assignments you are expected to write? Most often, this is also included in the Moodle platform, but sometimes not. So the first session is a good place, good opportunity for you to ask questions from the teacher of the course. We tend to have this funny little thing called an academic quarter. So we usually begin at quarter past and finish at quarter two. So a usual time slot for teaching is 90 minutes. So, for example, beginning at quarter past two and finishing at quarter to four. In the morning, sometimes some teachers prefer starting at 8:30 as opposed to 8:15. Somehow the 15 minutes make all the difference in the mornings. Attendance, I already told you about that. For example, in our faculty, attendance is usually compulsory. So you should be there. In some other faculties, it's not so strict. So this is something, once again, my colleagues will tell you tomorrow, or if in doubt, you can ask the lecturer of the course about the policy regarding absences and presences. Any questions about this until now? Yeah, sure.
Three.
Okay, one. No, you can ask three, but ask the first one first. Which languages? You mean in the Center for Academic Multilingual Academic Communication? Mostly they are, I think they use Finnish as an auxiliary language for teaching. But if they have international students there, they can be flexible with the language. Yeah.
How does independent study work?
The independent courses usually work so that, for example, the student is given the material. You have, for example, a compilation of articles to read and perhaps a book. And you either write an essay based on the material or you sit an examination based on the material that you wrote. Independent study basically means that you don't have any contact teaching. Okay. So it's up to you to have a sufficient command of the material that is required, and then you either write an exam or write an essay. Okay. What was your third one?
I have two courses in one in the first trimester, two in the second. So how is this going to be? Am I going to have two classes all the week?
No, it's yeah, that's a good question. That depends. Some of our departments prefer having the sort of traditional way of organizing lectures, like once a week, every Monday from 10 to 12, you have the same lecture more or less in the same place. In some other faculties, mine included, it's not always so clear cut. So you may have one meeting this week, then There might be 2 weeks break and then you meet again for another time. So unfortunately, I can't tell you for certain how it is going to be. It depends on the courses. You have to check the timetables. It would be so much easier if everybody followed the, same time, same day every week, but unfortunately it's not so. You're welcome. Okay. Written assignments. I already mentioned that, for example, in my faculty, we tend to have written assignments as opposed to examinations. But I think the most important thing is to be aware of the fact that the traditions with academic writing vary from discipline to discipline, but also from country to country. Once again, the teachers should provide you with sufficient information about what is expected in a written assignment that is expected to as part of the course. Okay. Submission, nowadays, most often you upload your written assignments to Moodle or other learning platforms. Some teachers still insist on getting them by email, but I do hope that we don't have anyone anymore who wants to have them on, hard copies on paper. But they will tell you, okay? Deadlines. My advice to you would be to try and submit everything by the deadline. Time management is one of the challenges most of our students have, not only exchange students, but our sort of degree students as well. Because, as opposed to many other countries, we don't have a separate examination period at the end of the semester, okay? Everything takes place simultaneously, which means typically that towards the end of semester, you have deadlines for several written assignments, or you have several exams during the same week or couple of weeks. So once you know which courses you will do and you know what is expected for each course, have a good look at your calendar and plan when you are going to do what. And when is the deadline for each written assignment? Because quite often the students sort of procrastinate. Not only students, I'm a prime example of procrastination myself, but really it's kind of impossible to write 5 20-page essays in one night. So try to plan. Try to plan your calendar, try to plan your studies so that you don't become desperate in May. If you notice at some point, for example, you fall ill and you notice that you really can't make a deadline, okay? Be in touch with the teacher, preferably at least a few days before the deadline, saying that I really can't make it. I have been ill for the past 2 weeks and it's impossible. It's better to be in touch in advance rather than at 11 o'clock in the night if 12 o'clock is the deadline. It will be nicer. Okay, I have a question here online. How do we register for a course in Sisu if it says no selectable implementations? This is something, if there is no selectable implementations, it can mean two things. Either the course is not available this semester, or the second option is that it will be available, but it's not yet active in Sisu. This is something that you will probably learn a bit more from my colleagues tomorrow afternoon. They will go through the course selection, through the available courses with you. Okay. One thing that I would like to point out, this is again something that you will hear more about tomorrow, but academic fraud and plagiarism, it's something that is taken pretty seriously in our university. If you sit an exam, you are not allowed to talk with your fellow students. Most often, you can't have any written materials with you. But once again, there are variations depending on the discipline and depending on the course you are sitting. Sometimes you may use some source material or your course notes, for example, in mathematics sometimes. But usually, no written extra materials are allowed and no talking with your fellow students. Also, you can't submit someone else's work as your own. You can't copy material directly from online sources or any sources unless you refer properly to the source. The type of referencing or the system of referencing depends on the discipline and on the course. For example, in our faculty, we quite often use the APA style. But once again, this is something that the teachers are supposed to tell you at the beginning of the course or in the Moodle platform. And the main thing is that it's always clear to the reader whether you are actually borrowing somebody else's thoughts and writing or whether it is something that you have come up with yourself. Okay.
What about
I mean, come on. There is, okay, just a thank you. Good. Come on. There is a link to the code of conduct for preventing and dealing with academic fraud and plagiarism. Suffice it to say at this point that don't do it, at least don't do it intentionally. We will also always inform your home university if you get caught plagiarizing in your written assignments or in your exams. Okay, use of artificial intelligence. Quite a new thing in our university, but we have the guidelines available. The use of AI is in principle allowed, but there are certain restrictions. So you can make a draft of your assignment using AI unless the teacher says that you are not allowed to do so. And you have to remember that you can't really use artificial intelligence, chat or whatever, whatever software as a scientific source, okay? I also wouldn't recommend it also because the outcomes are sometimes pretty hilarious if you use artificial intelligence without actually checking the sources yourself. And you have to indicate in your bibliography, in your list of sources that you have used artificial intelligence. You are also responsible for all the content that you hand in. And this means that you shouldn't trust the artificial intelligence programs too much. In some of the examinations or assignments, such as the maturity examination, where the sort of correct usage of language is also assessed as part of the assignment, the use of artificial intelligence is not allowed. Okay. These kind of exams usually take place in the either you write them by hand or then on paper, you know, in the old-fashioned way, or then you write them in the e-examination classrooms. More about that in a minute. And with the e-examination computers, which have limited programs, limited software, and no access to internet, so they are kind of under supervised circumstances. And here in point five, if you use AI applications, you have to report it in there. And once again, more guidelines to follow from your faculty, international coordinators, or especially the teachers. Because the even though we have these university level sort of general guidelines, some of the teachers have their own requirements regarding artificial intelligence. And here is the link to the entire AI protocol of our university. Okay. Did this answer your question? Great. Good. Examinations then. In principle, there are two different types of exams, content-wise. The first one is the lecture exam, which means that it's part of a course, usually based on the material of what the lecturer or lecturers taught during the course. Then there are book examinations, which mean that you have some separate material, either a book or a compilation of articles to read, and then you sit an exam on that. If we think about the way you sit, you take the exam, we have general examinations, and then we have the e-exams that I briefly mentioned. You have the right to retake an exam. You also have the right to resubmit an assignment. Okay? So if you are not satisfied with your grade, you can attempt again. But this is something that you should talk about with the teacher of the course. And depending a little bit on the course you sit, a course you take, we have both traditional hard copies in our university library, nowadays more and more e-books. And sometimes the number of copies, even for e-books, is limited. So once again, try to plan ahead. Especially if it is a course that a lot of students are taking, because sometimes the number of circulating copies of the required books is not sufficient, and you have to wait for the book to be able to read it.
Library, e-books, and also like the state library, which students also can access and the variety of books.
There are several collections from different libraries that you can access via our university library webpage. And I think we have the library info tomorrow. So the library staff members will explain these things to you as part of the orientation program tomorrow. So you will have the chance to ask more questions from them. But yeah, lecture exams are usually, as stated, part of the course, and the dates and the times are included in the course timetable in SISU. Please note that sometimes the examination might require a separate registration in SISU, but not always. And then the book exams can be either part of the course. So you have, for example, lecturers, and you sit the lecturer examination, and then you have some kind of written material as part of the course, and you read it and you sit a book examination. Or then, and now we come back to the independent study option that we already discussed a bit earlier. You read the material and then you sit the examination. So there is no contact teaching at all. It's just the reading material and the exam or assignment. We have general examination dates in some faculties, not in all. It used to be so that every faculty had a general examination day at least once a month. But during the pandemic, obviously we couldn't organize these classroom-based examinations. And for example, my faculty, even after the pandemic, decided not to continue with the classroom general examination day tradition. We have them as e-examinations nowadays. But some faculties still have general examination days. Most often nowadays, the examinations are e-exams, or you can have a timed examination in Moodle or still in Coppa, which is an older system for an online learning platform. E-exams are taken in the e-examination classrooms. We have two in the university. One is in Agora building by the lake, and the other one is in the library building, or actually between the administrative building and library building. And you can see the opening times there. Basically, they are open on weekdays from 8 to 8, 8 in the morning till 8 in the evening. And the library one is open even on Saturdays. Sometimes they get very overbooked. Once again, plan your studies, manage your time, because especially during the end of the semester, students are kind of trying to cram everything together and finalize their studies. So even the e-exam rooms can get a bit overcrowded. So try to, when you know that, okay, I have to sit this examination, try to plan when to take it and book your time in the e-exam room. You can register up to 60 days before your exam date. So if you register today, you can sit the exam in January or February, but you can't register for April yet, for example.
Days prior to the next exam, deadline comes, I want to change it.
You can change it. You can change it. You can sign in to the system again and change the date. It's possible. Okay. Anything else about exams? No. Okay. Assessments and grades. The teacher responsible for the course is obliged to grade your work within 2 weeks of the examination date, or then, if we are talking about written assignments, within 2 weeks of the deadline, mind you, deadline of the a written assignment submission. So if you submit your written assignment in advance, okay, before the deadline, bear in mind that the teacher is not obliged to check it, grade your paper until 2 weeks after the deadline. Many of them do it, but you can't sort of go there and say, "Where is my grade?" until 2 weeks have passed from the deadline. You can see the results in SISU. Mostly we use the 0 to 5 grading scale, but some of our courses are graded only pass or fail. Okay. And this can be a bit problematic to some of you because your home universities do not necessarily, well, accept this pass fail grading scale. But the thing is that if the grading scale is pass or fail in our system, unfortunately, we can't change the grade into a numeric grade in our SISU system. So if your home university does not accept pass or fail scale, either you can't take that course, or then you just have to make do with your home university with a general, I sometimes write these general statements to my exchange students saying that, okay, in order to get a pass, you have to, it equals to a minimum of a numeric grade 3. Okay. But in the official transcript, it will appear as pass because we can't change the grading. And this is how our grading scale from 0 to 5 transfers to ECTS grading scale. 0 is fail, 5 is the best one, excellent, A in the ECTS system. And your home universities, if, for example, your home university has a grading scale from 0 to 10, they in their turn have information about how to sort of convert from ECTS scale to your home university scale. Okay, was this your question? Okay. Also, in the ECTS grading scale, it equals to E. It's the lowest grade, but it's still pass. And we don't use any kind of, bell curves, normal distributions in the grading of our students, or rather, students' assignments. There is also, and this means that if I have 10 students in my class, all of them can get a 5 if they do, a good job. So I don't necessarily have to give one person a 1 just because of a bell curve. Okay? We also don't have university level assessment criteria. That's because the disciplines are quite different. And this general criteria is very difficult to compose. But the faculties and the departments, the disciplines have their own criteria, and the teachers should explain this to you at the beginning of the courses. This might also be a bit self-evident, but I'll just say it. So the grades and credits don't have a connection, there is no correspondence. So you can get a 5, a grade 5 for a 3-credit course, and another student can get a grade 1 for the same course, but still get the 3 credits. Okay. So the grading can differ, but the credits are the same usually. We have a couple of courses, for example, in my faculty where you can choose whether you want to do, for example, 3 credits for a course or 5 credits for a course. But these kind of courses are very much in minority. And the teachers, when they grade you, your assignments, they should compare your assignment, your product, to the assessment criteria, not to what somebody else in the class has done. Okay. Where to find the results? Sisu. You can see them in your study plan in Sisu, or then there is a special separate section called completed credits, which you can access via the My Profile function in Sisu. And I have just included the what it looks like in your study plan when you have completed. This is an entire module, basic studies in special education, and then you can see the individual courses here. You can see the code, the name of the course, the grade, and the number of credits. Okay. And there on the right, with a green font, you can see that the entire module is completed with a grade, general grade of 4. Okay. In the transcript of records, you will have all the courses that you have successfully completed in our university. So if you fail a course, or if you decide to drop a course, they don't appear in the transcript. I know that some home universities require a certificate if you fail a course. This is something that your international coordinator from the faculty you are appointed to can write to you. So, for example, I have had some students who have failed the exam or failed the assignments, and they don't have or they don't want to resubmit. I have just stated that yes, the student was enrolled into a course, this and this and this, but failed the examination and did not have the time to participate in the resit of an exam, something like that. And you can get the certificate of registration and transcript of records from Sisu as digitally signed documents. But once again, you'll have more info on Sisu functions this afternoon. Then, the final couple of minutes, contact with the staff. We tend to be pretty low hierarchy system in the universities and in general in Finland. So we call our professors usually by the first name. Or if that feels awkward to you, you can always say, you know, professor or something. But usually the sort of relations between the staff members and the students are pretty informal and friendly. There is not really a dress code. Anything goes as long as it is decent. If you come to my building, which is the newest one in university, you will see a lot of people walking around in woolen socks, and dressed very casually in jeans and woolen sweaters. The feedback regarding your assignment or your exams, especially if you feel that you got a grade that was lower than expected, you can get. You are entitled to feedback from the teachers. It doesn't necessarily mean that they will hand you back your essay with all the punctuation corrected, but they should tell you what was good in your essay, what was bad, or what was sort of could have been improved in your essay answer. Staff members quite often have either weekly office hours, or you can book an appointment with them by email. Some people, like me, I use a booking calendar, which is in my signature, and you can just book a time slot with me. I also have a weekly online office hour where you can just pop in without any special bookings or arrangements. The one thing that I would like to mention here is the use of email. We tend to get quite a lot of emails per day and per week. So it helps if you are as clear and concise as possible in your email. So if your question is specifically targeted to the professor who is teaching you course XYZ123, state in the subject title of the message that question regarding attendance in course XYZ123, so that the teacher knows which course you are talking about. Sometimes you get messages from students saying that I'm participating in your course without saying the name of the course or the code of the course. And if you happen to be teaching 10 different courses, it's kind of frustrating when you don't know which course we are talking about. Okay? Also, use your name as it is given in SISU. Sometimes it's a bit difficult if you only include your first name, for example, and it's not immediately clear from your email address what your actual official name is. And try to be understanding regarding the timing of the emails. The teachers don't necessarily answer you in immediately in the same day or even in 2 days. Usually, as a rule of thumb, I say that if 1 week passes and you don't hear back, then send again or try to call them. I personally use a lot of WhatsApp. So if you For those of you who need me, if you can't get in touch with me by email, you can always WhatsApp me. That's usually a quicker way to get in touch. Who to ask, where to find information? International coordinator. I think I've said several times that my colleagues and I are probably the first contact that you need when you are asking about your studies and your what to do here, how to survive here. And then, of course, our colleagues at the international office about the general things, accommodation, friendship, family program, that kind of things. And if you have questions about a specific course, it's always the teacher, okay? They are the only ones who can tell you that, yes, you can be absent 2 times during this course, or no, you have to submit your assignment by the deadline, and no, it's not allowed to use artificial intelligence or whatever course-specific questions. We have quite a lot of freedom here. As students and as staff members, it means that most often the teachers will not remind you if you don't submit your essay by the deadline. They won't send a reminder to you saying that you did. Why didn't you submit your essay? It's up to you, your problem. Don't want to do it, don't do it. And that's what I mean when I write here that with freedom comes also a lot of responsibility. And I've included the link to the rights, responsibilities, and duties in the presentation. And I just realized that I forgot to check this because we had our new web page is launched in November. Marita, I'll check the links and I'll send you a new version of this so you can distribute it to the students. This is something that I'll talk to you about tomorrow. Keep informed and always, if in doubt, ask questions. Okay? Read the instructions in Moodle first if you have a course-specific question. If you don't understand, ask the teacher. Okay. Any questions at this point? No? Excellent. Thank you very much for your attention. Welcome. And we'll meet tomorrow. I'm going to talk about student life in the morning. And then for the students of Faculty of Education and Psychology, we'll meet in the afternoon about the courses and faculty-specific instructions. Okay? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Lisa. We'll have about a 5-minute break, and after the break, we'll have the representatives from Soihtuen class coming up here to talk about accommodation and living. Hello, boy.
So one of the girls at the beginning said that she was going to ask my number for the
Yeah, your
identification.
name.
Yes, Benjamin.
Did you participate in the summer school?
Yeah.
You don't need to identify your
Ah, I'm.
account should be
Yeah.
working. Yeah.
But I tried to get my ID number into FrancApp, and it didn't work.
Hello. We have a 5-minute break. Okay, that's French.
Yeah.
It's my tutti.
Okay, it's been nice to meet you. Oh my God. Yeah, very nice to meet you. Okay, that's good.
It wasn't what's
Oh, good. I mean, okay, so Frank app doesn't work. I'm sorry, I'm listening in.
No, it's okay. Come say
She's my lawyer.
hi. Yeah. Okay, that's interesting. Did you pay for
The student union, it's in process.
Okay.
Transforming hasn't given me the receipt, so I'm off the system. Yeah.
Okay, then if you Mulla on pieni breikki.
Ei haittaa.
Ihan
Tässä
rauhoitua.
menee
Joo, anteeksi. Okay, then it will be your student status will be activated. Like the Frank app student status will be
heti.
activated after they have processed and added you to the system in like this square. And it's going to take a moment for the Frank app to receive the information.
As I send the receipt, I'm going to be traveling the student union
Nothing,
system.
nothing. Usually it takes like a few days.
Oh.
At least for the first week, is it for the second week? You can use the Sisu certificate at least in the
I think so, yeah, they should be able
What I'm sorry? I don't know, but for I'm talking about the bus.
on the bus.
Yeah.
Well, again, they're like the receipts are manually checked for people. Can you give us your name? Where did you upload it to your mobility? So he doesn't have the receipt. You don't have the receipt. Yes, one moment. Okay. Give us your name.
Can I come in? Do I write?
We can write, yeah.
Yeah, the problem is that there's no receipt.
That is a problem.
Yeah.
Why is there no receipt?
Professor Maida, I paid on 12th of December 2019.
Did you get an email from them?
I sent them an email and they responded. I had their response like 2 days ago. About that, they were going to ask the local, their partners in Chile about the payment.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Then we can't really do anything about that. You have to wait until you get the receipt. We will also have Petro from Chile, my wife, coming, and you can ask about that.
Okay.
Maybe he knows something, but if it's transfer-based, like, but if you have been in contact with them, and then apply to them, but yeah, the bus is, yeah, but I know that you're gonna have, you're gonna get three bags, and then we'll have a bus card for you. Like a week until that can use that bus
so the bus driver can do it with manual.
No, you'll just receive a card that you can use until you get your
okay.
And after that student discount prices.
Yeah.
If hopefully within a week.
Yeah, hopefully. And so I don't have to ask anyone about the thing. I'm going to receive it either way. For the discount.
You have to have Frank up working.
Yeah.
And you have to go. I don't know if they can do it manually online or they have to go today.
Do you remember it? I don't remember. It's been a while since we did it.
I think
it's easiest if you go to when we do the city tour. I will show where the bus is located, their office is, so you can find the car from there. So
yeah.
You can show that. Okay, I'm assuming.
Yeah.
It might be the easiest way. Yeah. But yeah, you need to wait till you can get it working. So hopefully, transfer may fix it.
And as soon as you get the receipt, send an email to the international office. So we'll try to handle it as fast as possible. So get,
Okay.
So you just have to wait for transfer may to work.
Unfortunately, out of our hands.
Yeah, because if it didn't work at all, it would be possible to pay it in cash. But we have to pay for it, so it's like somewhere.
Yes.
You can also discuss it with Petro today. With Petro. He's gonna be here for the membership, so you can discuss with him if there's anything you can do, like you can pay for it again and he'll just register you right away or something.
Okay.
It would also be a possibility. Yeah.
Okay. And can I throw this thing very far? So it is perfectly secure.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
This one.
Good luck. Thank you.